Meadows. Good to be with you. The Lord is good all the time and all the time. Oh, man. The Lord is good all the time. Praise God. This morning, we've come to worship the Lord, for He is good. And we've also come to hear Him out, because He is also good. So every good word that comes from the Lord is always a good thing, because the Lord's word is always there to build us up. What do you say? And this morning, let us begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for your Spirit who's here. May it speak to our hearts, our minds, capture who we are, and be able to be drenched in your grace. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. You notice that we have been covering several practical things since we began the year. We started with the Bible. We started also with prayer, which Pastor Brian had been developing a little bit. And today we're going to get started with one little Christian practice that usually doesn't go under Christian practice. And it is a famous word called submission. And everybody said, amen. That's all right. I have problems with the word too. But there's good news about submission. But let us glorify the Lord this morning by going to Ephesians chapter 1. And notice what it says, verse 17 and on. And it goes like this. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as if you come to know Him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe, according to the working of His great power. God put this power to work in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and He seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the next one. And He has put all things under His feet, and He has made Him the head over all things of the what? Of the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. For Paul sounds like one who just keeps on talking about Jesus, because you can't reduce Jesus to one sentence. In Paul, there is so much richness, you can't keep it to a tweet. Twitter can't handle Jesus, nor can Facebook. The fact is that when we speak about Jesus, how rich and captured are we that you just want to get to the fullness of what it means to know Christ? So Paul is in love with Jesus, but to speak about Jesus also means to speak about what it means to be in Him. So it gets richer. It gets richer. Verse 12 of chapter 2. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. For He is our peace. In His flesh He has made both groups, right? Israel, non-Israel, into one. He has broken down the wall that is the hostility between us. He's abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that He might create in Himself. You see, these two groups are no longer about following one letter. Now it is in Christ Jesus Himself that brings in that reconciliation. So, verse 16, and might reconcile both groups to one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. It gets better. Verse 17, so He came and He proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him, both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father. So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. In Jesus, you this morning, Spring Meadows, have inherited everything that doesn't belong to you, and yet it does because of Jesus Christ. Rich in Jesus Christ means you are rich in life because there's possibilities when Jesus is in your life, you see. You are not constricted, you are not reduced to doing one or two things in Christ Jesus. To be in Jesus means you can be the best life liver there ever was. Because there is something that Jesus is in himself that gives us possibility to bring reconciliation where there is division. But Jesus Christ is that one in whom we are under. That is to say, to talk about submission, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, we are talking about where you and I belong. You and I are not Jesus Christ. So there is a Lord in our world. His name is Jesus. So here is Jesus. This is us. Amen. So even in the church, this is Jesus, this is us. But the fact that we can be near is because in Christ, he's brought that together. This is the richness of what it looks like when we're under him. So we're submitted to the Lord as a beginning. So when we talk about submission, we get a little nervous because there are those texts that are there that are used in weird ways. One, wives, submit to your husbands. Amen. You're kind of like, whoa, right? I got you, Terry, but Eli, you can call me later. We can talk about this problem anyway. Or perhaps you should submit to all authority. Or young people, submit yourselves to the elders. Y'all like that, right? So you can imagine how the elders feel. But the problem is that when we look at these texts, we have to be honest of what it is and what it isn't. It really doesn't say much, just to say submit to it. We don't get the picture of what it actually looks like. And so people start believing about these blank statements about what you ought to do, but it really doesn't say how you ought to do it. However, because Christ is Lord, amen, because Christ is alive, we have to really see what submission looks like from Jesus' standpoint, not from anywhere else. The problem is, when Jesus is not the one through whom we learn submission, then we talk about domination. You get what I'm saying? When we talk about Jesus, we talk about submission. When Jesus is not part of the picture, we talk about domination. Are we clear? All right, so there are two parts of the Bible in the New Testament that we'll look at this morning and see how submission is actually a benefit to yourself as well as to the community. So I want you to follow me to the letter to the Galatians. Letter to the Galatians says a fascinating thing of what it looks like to know Christ and what that actually implies. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1, chapter 2, and we'll go from there. Mind you, Paul is an outsider, really. Yes, he's Judaic. Yes, he's a Jew, but in a sense, in a different way. Here's why. Verse 1. It says, "And after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up in response to what? To a revelation. And then I laid before them, though in a private meeting with the acknowledged leaders, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles in order to make sure that I was not running and had not ruined in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not compelled to be circumcised, though he was a Greek." Verse 4, "But because of false believers," Celdo, right? The Celdo guys, false believers, "they were secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus so that they might enslave us." Verse 5, "We did not submit to them even for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might always remain with you. And from those who were supposed to be acknowledged leaders, they were actually, makes no difference to me, God shows no what? Partiality. Praise God. Those leaders contributed nothing to me. Verse 7. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel for the circumcised. Verse 8. For he who worked through Peter, make him an apostle to the circumcised, also worked through me in sending me to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who were acknowledged pillars, recognized the grace that had been given to me, they gave to Barnabas and me the right hand of fellowship, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. They asked only one thing, that we remember the poor, which was actually what was eager to do. And notice that famous verse 11. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood self-condemned. For until certain people came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But after they came, he drew back and he kept himself separate for fear of the circumcision faction. Now, Paul, being a Jew, you guys know that, right? Jewish guy, trained up by Gamaliel, one of the famous nice rabbis that he had of his time. As a Jewish believer, he is a persecutor of the church. Now, Paul is telling this church, now, let's take a group of people here. Let's say these were the pillars, right? They were the people who are already in the churches. I'm Paul. I'm the Jew guy, right? I'm persecuting this group because obviously he was zealous for the Lord, right? He was a persecutor of the church. Now, he was afraid to come to them because if he came to them, he'd be like, hey, by the way, like I believe in Jesus, but I know you guys hate me, right? I know you don't like me. I was going up against you guys, putting you in prisons and so forth. It's because I thought I was fulfilling what the Lord was asking me to do. And obviously, he says, by the way, Jesus came to me in the form of a revelation. So would you guys believe somebody who just said, well, by the way, guys, I'm going to stop persecuting you. I want in now. I think we wouldn't, right? This is Paul's dichotomy here. So he's explaining, however, about this form that in the process of him being someone new into the group, he's telling them, I received the revelation, but I noticed one thing, that there were false believers and I would not submit to them. One thing about submission. Listen to me, and this is really critical. The gospel is never negotiable. Never. Never. Everything else is negotiable. What carpet you picked, what wooden piece you liked, what shirt you brought into church, put it back in the closet, send it back to the store. It's all negotiable, Terry. Listen to your wife, please. And the thing is that, here's the thing, all of that stuff is all negotiable. There's no lordship there. There's no sense of submission there. But notice here about this context of someone trying to get into this, I'm trying to get known here, but there were spies who were trying to spy on my freedom in Christ Jesus, you see. There are people who will try to attempt, right, to try to take away the awesomeness that you have in Christ, you see. This is weird because you're going against the gospel. You can never submit to something that has no gospel language to it. If I was telling you about the God, let's say, Apollos or some of these guys, and I was preaching this up front and how he's the Savior or she's the Savior, I would hope that you kicked me out. Amen. But the gospel, Jesus Christ, is non-negotiable. So what Christ has brought in together, man cannot take away. So if there are people being brought in for the submission of his lordship, this is what the gospel is doing in terms of submission. You see, submission, listen to me, is really important because a second thing is important. God himself is not partial. We may have favorites in our own line of thinking of who belongs in the gospel, but God doesn't. So if God brings them in, praise God. Because they belong in Christ Jesus, they are submitted to the Lord himself. The third thing what's important here is that This is curious about a revelation. Have you ever heard someone talk about, I received a revelation? The Lord was speaking to me, right? And he told me this. It's quite curious. Usually when somebody says, I heard this of the Lord, usually they go in their own way, right? What I love about God and submission together is that submission will always bring you into community. You with me? This is drastically different from somebody saying, oh, I received news from the Lord, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. And by the way, I have information you don't. So I like to sit in this corner, and what you would think turns into gospel usually turns into gossip. So it is that sort of rewarded sort of knowledge, right? This is not submission. This is gossip. And it has nothing to do with the gospel. Because the gospel is public, the gospel is communal, and the gospel leads you to other people of the same belief. It's as simple as that. That's one case study. The second case study is interesting here. Notice that when we go, and this is what's awesome about Paul and how submission works, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll bring it back in a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is trying to get together some money for his churches. To do so, he compels them to say, gather up your things. Starts in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians. But in chapter 9, he's developing this purpose of putting money together for those who are needy. Remember the poor, right? From Galatians. So if you go with me to verse 10 of the same chapter, chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, he says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way of your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience. And here, I kind of contend this word here, but it should be submission. Your submission to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. One thing from this side of the text is awesome, that everything that revolves around submission proclaims thanksgiving to God. So perhaps you can, in your own mind, think about the times people have used the word submission. Does that form of submission include thanksgiving? So you notice that the sort of obedience to the gospel, the sense of submitting to the gospel, allows you to be grateful. Grateful. You know, I started working as the regular kid at 12 years old in the church, trying to find something to do in the church. Whether that meant Sabbath school or deacon, evangelism, associate guy, try to get my hands on certain things. And one of the things that as I reflect throughout all those years till now, to this day, is that submission has a quality of putting you in a position of gratitude. And this is important because if you submit without gratitude, you submit with anger. And it causes resentment. So when you try to submit to something, you get angry because of it, because you believe you deserve something. So you get angry and you get isolated. And rather than gospel, it becomes gossip. I remember a gentleman, brother from the church, loved the guy, really do love the guy. One time he was telling me a little bit about his issue with somebody. Pastor, I just can't believe he did that. He shouldn't have done that. He could have this. He could have. what if, should have, would have, would have, you know, and it continues 20 minutes. And every time I try to be like, can I say something, right? So what's his name? And he gave me the name. You want me to go with you? We can go and talk to this. Oh, no, Pastor. He's gone. What do you mean? He's dead, Pastor. So what? No, it's because he should. Wow. When you don't submit, you carry bitterness. And the effect of that bitterness and resentment affects the community. And rather than it being gospel, it becomes what? Gossip. Where it should have been the submission to where you are positioned to be grateful, right? This is why we read Ephesians 1, because the thing is, those who have been far away now have been brought near because of the blood of Christ. And if we've been brought near because of the blood of Christ, then there is capacity within us to submit with gratitude. Thank you, Lord, that I can serve you in this. Thank you. I am nobody, but in you, I am somebody. This is why I serve. Because I used to be not in Christ, but now I'm in Christ. So submission, in that sense, provides spaces for gratitude, which we all can thank God for. Submission, at least from this case, the fact that they were able to gather up this money for the churches, which actually is probably the biggest concern Paul has throughout his letters. It isn't the theology, it's actually what you can actually give. And, by the way, it comes out saying that God is glorified. Notice in this thing, verse 12, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but it overflows with what? Thanksgiving to God. And then afterwards, as it continues to say, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Does your form of submission give glory to God? So, 4 points as kind of a bringing these two cases together so we can learn something for our lives to make it more practical. Number one, submission is not an isolated event. Actually, it is interpersonal. Pastor B, can you translate that? Sure. Very easy. Talk to each other. Are you with me? Let me bring in my family, because it always sounds like I'm the winner in some of these stories. So let's bring in some practical movement into submission. Because of the sort of context and background, my sister and I haven't necessarily grown up together. And the way we relate to our mom is different, because I've been living with my mom for a longer time. My sister hadn't. So the way we relate to each other is different. We know things different. We come to assume things at a different way. So when they get into an argument, my mom, my sister, guess who they call to fix it? And guess who's always right? Okay. My mom's always right. And guess who's always right? My sister. So guess what happens? There's a sense of triangulation. Rather than talking to each other, they don't talk to each other. Right, Anita? And then rather than gospel, it becomes what? Gossip. So I'm brought into a picture I have no idea of in order to solve an issue that only requires you to do what? Talk to each other, Larry. That's it. And so then here I come as the hero, right? And guess, whenever I don't reconcile things, because I'm the pastor, you add another layer to it. When I don't fix it, guess who gets the blame? Me. So what's interesting here is something simple that I've done that seems so basic, but perhaps it's not as basic as we first thought. I'll call mom. I'll call my sister. Mom, I'll meet you here, right? Call the other person, my sister, I'll meet you there. They come together, and you could tell by their faces, oh, man, brought us together. How could you, man? How could you, right? Mom, sis, what's going on? No, she doesn't want to talk to me. He doesn't want, and you're always, right? Submission. Submit, right? Why is this critical? Here's the key. My sister didn't grow up in the faith. My mom, in a sense, is mature in her faith, right? So here's one thing that I've come to realize in certain aspects of situations. I have to talk to my mom from the vantage point, very simple. Mom, you're the one who is in Christ. Your Lord is who? Christ. Who is my sister's Lord? I don't know. So when I tell my mom that, she's like, Alex, how could you? You're really messing things up here because I'm supposed to win, right? And my mom is just like, all right. And I tell mom, you're the one who's been in the faith longer. And if anything, if Christ is your Lord, you show her that Jesus is your Lord. All right, Alex. And then I leave the room. Thank God. We're not trying to call you, Dr. Nevis, but, you know. So I leave the room, allow them to have them going. Then they get things going. Does it always work? That's between that dynamic, mother, sister. I don't want to sound like the hero. I'm giving you an example that submission is interpersonal. Talk to each other. Submit to one another out of reverence for who? For Christ, says Paul in Ephesians 5:21. Does that make sense? So now let's make it more dramatic. What if they're both believers? How much more they need to submit to one another? Amen. Because how we act towards one another says who is our Lord. You can't say, I have Jesus, but I act this way. No, you can't do that. That's weird. It separates the world a little bit. You only do that when it's nice, and you only do that when, well, you don't feel so good, right? They go together. Because in Christ, you were brought near, and you were redeemed by the blood of the Lord. And because of the blood of the Lord, you are now have the capacity in the richness that you have in Jesus to actually submit with gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to submit in this way. That changes the way we speak about submission. Number two, submission brings joy. It brings joy. It hearkens the excitement in your heart. Thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to do this. Because without Christ, we wouldn't even be in this conversation. Right? Because the easy thing to do without Jesus is to run away. No, mom, I don't want to talk to you. I'm leaving. That would be, in a sense, a worldly way of actually approaching the subject of submission. Number three, submission advances mission. And the church said, submission is not just a principle to always do just because. How does this advance the gospel ministry in our conversation? And if it doesn't involve mission, Why are we even in the conversation? Because, right, we're submitted to the gospel. You and I are submitted to the Lord. And it brings me gratitude that sometimes mission doesn't look like you always win. Missions sometimes look like you always have to reconcile things where they don't need to be, right? I tell you one thing, out of my own thing. I've grown up kind of always being corrected in certain formats for different reasons. And here's one of the things that I'll tell you one thing, that there are moments that I was tempted to be myself in certain situations, but it's the recapturing of what God has done in Jesus Christ in my own life, mine. How is it that God could use me to do ministry? And if God could use me in the ministry, how could he not use me to submit to the situation? Because it's recapturing what richness, what inheritance I have in Christ that gives me the capacity to submit to it. Number four, and here's the last one. Submission saves your brother. It saves your sister. It gives us a motive of why submission happens at all. The reason why I'm submitted to it is not to just win an argument. Because if faith is all about putting arguments together, then it becomes a philosophy. Are you with me? We don't do philosophy in the church. We can use it, sure, for reasonable, to augment the way we argue about certain things, that's cool. But I'm not submitted to philosophy. You with me? I'm not submitted to Aristotle, Martin Heidegger, Martin Buber. I'm not submitted to men or women. I'm submitted to the Lord. So why I submit to the situation is because as a representative of Christ, an ambassador who has received the ministry of reconciliation, I myself, in trying to not only, I'm not trying to argue, win the argument, I'm trying to save my brotherhood, my sisterhood, with the person right in front of me or in a situation. That changes the way we approach our relationships. Because gospel isn't the proclamation only, but the demonstration of it. You can't just get on a pulpit and say what you say, and everything's fine and dandy, and they fix themselves. The reality is that the Bible itself is composed and made in the intricacies of really ugly relationships. And thank God that the Word of God has spoken that in between those things, God is able to enrich us with how to have some guidance on how to do it the way that honors God, in a way that God is glorified in my very act. So that the way I act, nobody says, oh, that Pastor Alex, he's good. No. I'm an angry guy. By heart, I've been through so much in my life. My nature is to react like that. And, by the way, I used to be a good soccer player. So I think I can fix all things. And I'm a man. So I think I can be the fixer for the world. That is my burning thing of being Alex. That's who I am. But I don't belong to Alex anymore. I don't belong to a philosophy of school or perhaps the passions of reason. I belong to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ lives, and because he lives, he shapes my acts. So my acts are no longer gossip. They are gospel. And it is about submitting to the Lord as well as submitting to one another. They don't go separate ways. They're brought in together. So, there was the thing that I was approaching. This brother I told you about, he's gone. He's no longer with us, but you're still angry. So the brother sat down with me. He said, "Pastor, I'm just so angry. I'm just so angry at what that person did to me." Sat down with him. I said, "Have you talked to the Lord about it?" This person had passed away 20 years ago. 20 years ago. And for him, it was the one thing that kind of molded who he was. "Pastor, I must confess to you, I've never prayed about it. I feel ashamed because I feel like I should have, but then I didn't. I should have spoken to him, but like we didn't talk. Because we feel ashamed that to submit," you notice the very word submit? It brings a lot of shame to us because it makes us look weak. Ladies and gentlemen, when God, creator of heaven and earth, became flesh and was obedient unto death, there is nothing weak about that. But the full divine humbleness to accept God's will in his own life. It's not weakness, it's not strength. It is just, if this is the Lord, then we can follow the same route too. So I told him, "Can we talk to the Lord this afternoon?" It had been raining that afternoon. And the man just started crying, bawling, like he'd never cried before. Just let it loose. He said, "Pastor, I've been needing to just..." And then he says, "Feel like I lost 50 pounds. I was like, "I know the feeling." Because if the Lord is alive and working in your life and mine, then there's still an opportunity for you to enrich your brotherhood, your sisterhood with those around you. Submission is good news because that's how we act. We don't base it on gossip. We do gospel work. That's where submission is seen in a light that glorifies our Lord. After we had finished with the prayer, he embraced me. He is a big guy. Held me. He's just like, "Pastor, I can't believe I just never told the Lord." He's like, "I was just too ashamed." I said, "That's all right. We believe the Lord is faithful in his word. That if we confess our sins, what? He's faithful and just to forgive them." This morning, if there is anything that we can take away from the word submission in a different light, I want you to consider two things. Have you taken it to the Lord? Have you taken it to the Lord? And number two, have you gone and submitted to the person that needs to occur immediately? May the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning.
give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out.
I'm picking it up okay. I feel that the Spirit might be speaking to you as it's spoken to me. And it would be a waste, really, if we didn't give each other the opportunity to pray about opportunities we have that the Lord is wanting to do in and through you, but as well as around us. I would like to invite you And if the Lord has spoken to you this morning, I'd like to pray with each other. And if there's something really special that you'd like to tell the Lord and be redirected to it in a way that submits to the Lord and to someone else, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And I would like to do so not because you're bad or you don't have it together, you don't know where it's going to go, blah, blah, blah. But there are people, even you perhaps, who have come with that burden and continue to feel that burden. Or perhaps you're just not allowing that thing to go away because it's as easy as telling the Lord, I submit to you, and by doing so, those around us. I'll give you 5 seconds. I want to do so. Lunch is coming, no worries. The Lord is calling you this morning. And He wants to do great things in you and through you. Allow Him to. Allow Him to. And He will do it because He is faithful. Praise God this morning, for the Spirit's work will do things amazing in you. Praise God for whoever you may be. Let us close our eyes, bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together. Yes, we're under a pandemic. The truth is, problems don't just go away either. Interpersonal ones, as it relates to our family, our friends, a situation, whatever that may be. Lord, you see the ones who've gotten up publicly just telling you, oh Lord, they need something dramatic in their lives, or perhaps just a whisper. So we're asking your Spirit to speak to them and convict them, guide them, of who and where they need to be addressed to. We also pray for those who, whatever reason, they didn't get up, but in their hearts they do have something. It might be a burden. Might be shame. That's not what we do. Lord, this morning, we're trusting that Jesus is good enough to tell you, Lord, that we don't have it all together. But if we could recognize what we can address, put it in our hearts. Let us not just put it on the shelf. That we can be lights and salt wherever we go. Father, we ask you this, trusting in your name. Praises be to you, my King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and abundantly enrich your life this morning. Have a great Sabbath.